All right, hey guys, before we start the show, I just wanted to sort of apologize, even though I made a mistake at the end of the show. I'm not sure what show number I gave this, but this is actually episode 575. So if you want the show notes to this particular episode, just go to extremehealthradio.com/575. And before we start, I just wanted to tell you that this show is brought to you by the Extreme Health Academy. If you're looking to take your health to new levels, if you're looking to improve your health, or maybe you just have like a nagging health condition that you can't overcome, some kind of challenge you've been working on, join the Academy. The Academy is the place for you. And we, every single month, we're releasing brand new courses. These are courses that should be taught, I think, in public schools. How to take care of the human frame, how to take care of the human body. So this month is going to be all about the autoimmune diseases. We've done courses on cancer. These are like 3 and 4 hour courses on healing and preventing cancer naturally, building invincible immunity, balancing your hormones, the complete guide to improving digestion, a course on the nervous system. We've got a yoga course. We've got a course on how to eliminate the three stressors, which are the three things that are causing all disease. It's basically stress. So every month we're answering your health questions. There's live calls every single month. We're doing courses. We're doing all kinds of biohacks and different quick tips videos. There's a complete forum in there. This is an awesome, awesome place. If you want to join, it's not for the faint of heart. This is for serious people only. Go to extremehealthacademy.com. At the end of the show, I'll give you a coupon code that you can get 2 weeks free for the Extreme Health Academy. So go to extremehealthacademy.com, and at the end of the show, I give you a coupon code to get 2 weeks free for that. So make sure to listen all the way to the end, and I share that with you. All right, let's get on with this episode 575 with Nick Pino. Thanks so much, everybody, for joining us. This is going to be a good show. I can't wait to talk to Nicholas. We're going to be talking about 5G networks, EMF, and what the heck all this stuff is doing to our physiology, our biology. Man, this is huge. This is huge. I posted on Instagram stories a little while ago, this huge big chemtrail. And then just, you know, chemtrails are here and 5G is coming. And it's true. I think it's already being rolled out, if I'm not mistaken, in Austin, Texas. And it looks like it's coming to everywhere in the United States and probably throughout the world. And, you know, from my understanding, it's going to be about 1,000 times faster. Maybe Nicholas can correct me on that. As our current wireless technology, 1,000 times faster. So that means that we're going to be exposed to so much radiation. It's nuts. So what do we do about this stuff, and how do we understand it, and you know, do we need to move? That's something I'm considering. But I got a couple things to share with you really quickly. So check this out. There's a really cool website. I went on to antennasearch.com, and I found out that in our little suburban neighborhood here in South Orange County, California, our house, there is 53 towers within a 4 mile radius of our house, and 206 antennas within a 4 mile radiation. 206 antennas and 53 towers. It's unbelievable. And so I wanted to share with you a couple little quotes that I found before the show. It says, in 2002, this is from cancer.gov. So this is like a real, you know, legitimate, of course, cancer.gov, right? In 2002, the International Agency for Research on Cancer, the IARC, a component of the World Health Organization, appointed an expert working group to review all the available evidence on static and extremely low frequency electric and magnetic fields. The working group classified ELF and EL or EMFs as, quote, possibly carcinogenic to humans, based on limited evidence from human studies in relation to childhood leukemia. And in 2015, the European Commission's Scientific Committee on Emerging and Newly Identified Health Risks reviewed electromagnetic field exit disclaimer in general, and cell phones in particular, and found that overall, epidemiologic, I can say that right, epidemiologic studies of extremely low frequency fields shows an increased risk of childhood leukemia. So this is huge. This is massive. So this is episode 570. If you want to grab the show notes to this page or to this particular podcast, just go to extremehealthradio.com/570. I'll post links to both those little studies that I quoted there. But today we've got Nicholas Pinault on the show, and he's a health journalist. He's the man behind emfbook.com, and he's written over 1,500 online articles, been into all kinds of different areas of health, but he's focused more recently on EMF and what it's doing, electromagnetic pollution, and what it's doing to our health. So let me turn his microphone up. And Nicholas, can you hear me okay?
Yes. Thanks Excellent. For having me, Justin.
Oh, you're so welcome. Are you up in Canada?
I'm in Montreal.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Cool. So I wanted to ask you, when I was just talking about possibly moving, what's the EMF state like up where you are?
Well, it's pretty much, I cannot compare it to all cities, but it's fairly high, Justin. You know, the average levels in cities nowadays, just from overall cell phone tower placement, you have the 3G networks that are a little bit older, but you have the 4G/LTE networks. So just the overall background radiation, when you combine so cell phone towers with smart meters, and also just people passing by in my street. It's I'm on Saint-Denis. That's a fairly passing street, and I can measure in my bedroom levels of, let's say, in volts per meter, 0.2, 0.3. These are levels that prevent me from having the best sleep possible. I can tell you that with certainty. And I know people that are extremely sensitive to EMFs couldn't really live in my apartment, or they would get ill effects for sure.
Wow. So even in your apartment, are you like on an upstairs, or are you on the ground floor, or what's your living
situation? Yes, I'm at the third floor. So I guess I'm being exposed from the street, and it's just the background levels, you don't get them to zero in a large city unless you have very well expensive and well-made mitigation strategies. But that's not... At the moment, we're not owners here, so I'm thinking of doing that, but I'm not sure, because after that, we'll move, and we'll kind of have, not wasted this money, but it's a large investment, kind of painting your walls or doing stuff like that. So at the moment, I don't have a lot of good solutions, but I'm working on my health, and the healthier I am, generally, the less sensitive I feel to EMF. Mm-hmm. So it's improving a little bit, but still, I just feel different when I sleep outside the city. That's just a fact. Every time I go to a friend's house outside the city, I go to my mom's place. She's in Sherbrooke, a couple hours east of Montreal. It's more by the countryside or a smaller city, and I feel better. I sleep more soundly. My dream recall is better, so that's a sign of deeper sleep. And overall, my wife and business partner Jen and I, we went on a trip to Florida back in September, and I spent a couple of days. It was in Clearwater, and then we went to the east coast of Florida, and we just walking by the beach, having sun exposure for 2 weeks. I think my health improved more tremendously than trying to improve my health in a city for months and months and months. So it's how fast, when you get closer to nature, and I'm talking about both chemical exposure and the air quality, the water quality, the lighting environment, and also the EMF environment, it seems that our bodies go back to normal way faster.
I know, doesn't it? It totally feels like that. If you go to Hawaii or, like you said, Florida, you just feel completely reset. Do you think that eventually, I mean, are we all going to have to figure something out and actually move, do you think?
I hope not. Let's say people living in cities have to take more measures, and you share so much stuff on your show. I'm a big fan, by the way, and so many different solutions to kind of biohack your health. And however, just like people like Jack Cruz, a little bit more extreme when it comes to their Dr. Jack Cruz is a neurosurgeon, and he has an entire health community based on the Well, environmental medicine is the best way I can put it. He calls it quantum health, and it's basically how your environment affects you. And to some degree, it's kind of working backwards. Living inside a city, having all these exposures to chemicals, to EMFs, to stress, and then trying to patchwork with supplements and with ozone therapy, coffee enemas, I do them, and I mean a bunch of things that I'm trying, but still you're kind of fighting against the current. So for some people, when their bucket overflows and they become hypersensitive to these signals, I don't have really good advice for them, except, yes, considering moving to the countryside to a place where the levels are going to be healthier, it's a good thing for health in general. I must say that we will be obligated to move or else everyone will get sick. We'll see. But with 5G, it's definitely going to increase. So that's one of my big fears.
Yeah, I know. This whole 5G thing, man, I've been watching different lectures on it, and there's a lecture on it I watched a while back. There's a really cool conference. It's over in Europe, and it's called the Open Mind Conference. And this guy did a really great lecture on 5G there. And man, it is like, it's frightening, but at the same time, it's really bizarre when you start seeing a lot of the sort of propaganda and other news stories and articles that get written, you know, about how there's no clinical data evidence to suggest that wireless technology affects, you know, children's health. And, you know, it's funny because you see these studies and then you see the opposite sort of propaganda articles out there in the paper. And it just, you know, I get it, because if you're part of the Verizon or these huge, big, you know, multi-billion dollar companies, I mean, you don't want to have any sort of negative news about your product, you know? So I get that.
It's definitely, there's a big misunderstanding. Let's say the problem is that there's one guy called Trevor Marshall, PhD, and he's doing a lot of research on EMFs. He has been for decades now, especially EMFs and autoimmunity. And he's both an electrical engineer, so we understand the side of engineers and physicists who think that, oh well, it's low level radiation, it does nothing to human biology. But he's also a biologist, or he knows the cell biology. And what he said in an interview he was giving to Lloyd Burrell from electricsounds.com, he said we should never ask an engineer about health effects in human. It's not they're not doctors, they don't know biology. All they know, and the way technology is being developed right now, they know how to avoid signal interference. So making sure that your cell phone doesn't go all scratchy if another cell phone is nearby. So technology that is optimized for speed, for convenience, for different characteristics that make technology so damn good. And and it's awesome. It's incredible that we can have this conversation right now over Skype. And doesn't mean you have to go wireless. That's another thing. I'm using a wired Ethernet cable right now. Mm-hmm. But it's just that technology is not developed with health in mind. If it were, I think we could achieve safer wireless even. And some people I've connected with have told me, yes, I believe in biocompatible wireless signals. If we can, like, let's face it, we have, and you talk about that, we have PEMF, right? So pulse electromagnetic fields that is used in a therapeutic way. So certain frequencies, certain pulsing, certain signal strength, some are magnetic fields, or some are electrical stimulation devices, some even use microwave radiation, just like cell phone, to induce physical changes that are beneficial, and some even use millimeter waves. That is the next level on 5G. We're going to switch to a new signal that's even higher in the EMF spectrum. Well, you've got several devices coming out of the Soviet Union and Germany that use millimeter waves for good, to do good in humans. So I know even Dave Asprey from Bulletproof, he thinks, and he shared that in the last years, he thinks that eventually we'll have Wi-Fi that heals and that it's possible. So it's only a question that we don't bridge the gap. There's no one company, there's no one telecom company that is sitting with the biologists right now trying to come up with a technology that would be compatible with human beings and with nature and with everything else on Mother Nature. I think it could be feasible, but no one is collaborating this way because it's all profit driven.
Yeah, that would be the play. But the problem with that is that, you know, if you came up with a technology, or even if existing mega corporations came up with technology that did this, then that would mean that they would have to admit that what they were doing was harming health. Sort of like how the the dentists don't want to admit that silver mercury fillings were bad, you know, and so it's like they don't want to admit that, but, you know, they're all moving away from it. So, you know what, I have to say, I'm impressed with you because Trevor Marshall is someone who I'm pretty familiar with, and I haven't heard anybody else mention his research because he does a lot of work with autoimmune disease as well and all that kind of stuff. And he has some pretty groundbreaking research down there in Australia, but kudos to you for knowing who Trevor Marshall is, man. That's awesome.
Thank you. Well, he's published a paper just in late 2017, just 3 months ago, I think it was published in I don't remember which journal, but he has a case study of using EMF shielding for the head for people with autoimmunity, and he's seen big improvements. So he's even he's on the clinical side, he's on the theoretical side of how EMFs affect us, and he's doing great work. So I'm really glad you know him as well. I think it's just so impressive what he does.
He's a cool guy. So I want to ask you, first of all, like, I know you mentioned this in some of your talks that you've done, but let's go over like why they're doing the 5G. Is it like, I've heard different things like facial recognition, they want to have autonomous cars. Obviously, they want to speed up the current existing internet because that's the whole thing. I mean, you can't make cell phones smaller, but you can make them faster and faster and faster. What else are they trying to achieve by having or utilizing this upgrade to 5G, do you think?
Sure. Well, there's a lot of things. So the first reason, I think, and I spoke with Alasdair Phillips from PowerWatch UK. He's a top engineer, and he also knows electrosensitivity. So he has both sides of the stories like Trevor Marshall. And he told me that user demand of HD video streaming is the number one reason that we're constantly upgrading phones and upgrading our technology. So it's unfortunate that people are not aware that by demanding more and more HD videos and 4K videos on YouTube, and they want to stream entire movies on a cell phone, is the main reason that industry can afford putting up the new network. So it's us, by the way we love technology that comes out, that we create the problem. So that's unfortunate. So that's the first step, is user demand. And then it's also, well, when user demand is higher for more bandwidth and we want to download HD videos, well, it's a lot of gigs to download on your cell phone. So you gotta change the infrastructure, because right now all the different channels, so you have all the different frequencies in the microwave range, 900 megahertz, some cell phones will use 1.9 gigahertz, 2.1, 2.7. Well, all these, imagine information highways, and they're congested. You have Verizon, you have AT&T, you have all the different service providers, and they're all screaming to get on this road, and now there's traffic jam on these channels. So this is why they're choosing to open up new channels that were never used before, except for military technology and communication. So these are the millimeter waves. So right now, people are exposed to, let's say, anywhere from 900 megahertz to up to 5.8 gigahertz. That is the when you have your Wi-Fi router at home, sometimes you have the option to move from 2.4 to 5.8 gigahertz. Well, now we're opening 6 gigahertz to 100 gigahertz. So this is what's happening with 5G. We're opening all this range, all this bandwidth, and now we can achieve higher speeds, because when you go up in the millimeter wave, which starts actually at 30 gigahertz, but we can, for the sake of the argument, we can talk about 6 to 100 being millimeter waves. Well, when you move in that, you have actually more capacity to put more information on the signal. So in higher frequencies, you put more information, but at the same time, it comes with a price. And what this price is that it's very high power, very high, let's say, information density on the signal, but it's very short distance. So if you are at 100 gigahertz, the wave doesn't travel very far. So what this technology requires is multiple antennas organized in small cells. So it means one cell phone antenna every block instead of one larger cell phone antenna that can irradiate several thousand feet around it. So that's the difference. And this is why it's going to change everything. And you mentioned the speed. It's anywhere from 10 to 1,000 times the speed of 4G. So it's also, I mean, it's incredible on a technological standpoint. And you mentioned a couple of things. Autonomous cars, yes. Robotics. So having the capacity of having such bandwidth that you have a surgeon in Chicago that plugs on a virtual reality headsets and that uses their hands to do motion, and in real time in Beijing he's operating on an open heart surgery.
Oh,
so
wow.
This requires and it is in a sense totally fine that we roll this out for medical settings. I'm all for that if we can save lives and all that, but putting it to the entire population is another thing. So it's always a difference between medical technology. For example, now X-rays are only used in a medical setting, and we even to do one X-ray, you're kind of, okay, well, looking at, is it doing more harm than good? Is it necessary? Is it a matter of life or death? And it's using with parsimony, but back in the 50s, it was used abusively, and people got cancer, and then we realized, oh my God, it's actually doing something, it's damaging DNA, and it's leading to leukemia in dentists and a lot of other things, and this is why as a human species, as a society, we decided, okay, you know what, X-rays, we're not gonna ban X-rays, we're gonna use them when it's useful, when it can save lives. I think EMFs, that the way we currently use it is pretty much like X-raying the entire population.
Yeah.
And well, at one point we'll realize, oh, maybe we should just use those for the beneficial stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing you mentioned in the 60s. I've got a study published here from NIH.gov, and it says here, it's crazy. This is so nuts. It says here, cancer was first associated with exposure to electromagnetic fields, EMF, in 1979, when this guy by the name of Wertheimer and Leeper reported that children dying from cancer resided more often in homes believed to be exposed to higher EMF than did the healthy control children. So it's crazy. It, going all the way back to 1979 on some of this stuff.
Yeah, and it's even earlier than that. If you look at the U.S. Navy, they had documents from 71. It's Dr. Zori Glazer, I think. Don't call me on this one, but I could dig it up after the episode so you can have in the show notes. Yeah. But he has an entire report. And basically, because microwave radiation is nothing new in the last, like, if you look at Wi-Fi, of course, it's been, what, 15 years maximum that people have access to that.
Mm-hmm.
Smartphones, a little bit less than that, maybe 10 years, 12 years. And microwaves were used in another way in the military since World War II and probably before that, and it's radar. So radar range is actually microwave radiation for communication. It's a type of a smartphone or Wi-Fi signal. It's pretty much the same. And the military is always conducting studies to make sure, well, our latest cutting edge technology might harm our personnel and we want them to be combat ready. So they looked at the effects and they found several ill health effects from radar operators and from just being in the vicinity of these radar ranges. And most of them were high exposures, just like living very close to a cell phone tower. But it's crazy to me that after this research, kind of the world didn't take that into account when rolling out radar ranges in your pocket and radar ranges in your house that we call a Wi-Fi router and a radar on top of a building that we call a cell phone tower, and a radar to monitor your electricity usage, and we call it a smart meter. So essentially, it's radar, it's microwave everywhere. And I don't understand that this research was available back then. And of course, well, when you look at the documents, they were declassified, I think, recently. So it's always like that. It's kind of crazy, but it's always working backwards, you know. So with 5G, my concern, and I'm not anti-technology, but when you look at mistakes of the past with asbestos and with everything that happened with smoking, it takes so many decades to change policy, and it's always backwards. It's always like, oh, we're really sorry, guys. We harmed a bunch of people because we didn't listen to the early warning signs. And turns out, oops, the sugar industry was the one conducting the studies. Oops, the tobacco industry was the one modifying the industry, like the studies outcome and whatnot. It's always like that. Why are we surprised that would be any different for telecoms that are actually bigger than big pharma? It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, here's something I was just thinking about when you were talking, and I've thought about it before, is that I wonder if, like, you know, the technology to understand, like, for someone that is exposed to secondhand smoke, right? Or someone who's exposed to eating too much sugar. It seems like just in recent years, we've been able to understand what sugar actually does to the mitochondria of the body and the actual cell production and stuff. And also the same holds true for people that are smoking. Like, we're just understanding within, you know, my lifetime of, you know, 42 years of understanding, you know, we're just coming into the realization that people shouldn't be smoking and breathing that. So I'm wondering about this, like, from wireless technology from when it started, you know, or, you know, in mainstream use from, I don't know, when the internet first came out, you know, mid 90s kind of thing, all the way till now, it's been relatively low in terms of, you know, understanding the long-term effects of these things, right? But now that we have 5G, if you're saying it's like 1,000 times stronger, like if we go from, let's say, 5G to 6G to 7G and, you know, stuff like that, it's going to become, it seems like we have the technology now to do the testing to show that the difference between 4 and 5G and 5G to 6G is actually, there's scientific proof that it's damaging us. And so because we have the ability to test using that same technology, I wonder if there's going to be a quicker turnaround in terms of, like what you're saying, of the companies starting to say, hey, let's make wireless, you know, actually heal people. Do you think? The history of heat therapy dates back over 2,400 years, and it was Hippocrates who said, "Give me the power to produce fever, and I will cure all disease." This FDA-approved medical device called the Biomat is a mat that you can lay on, read on, sleep on, do yoga on, sit on, and it can be used on office chairs, massage tables, and the like to help the body heal itself. It's inlaid with 30 pounds of healing crystals using amethyst and a rare black tourmaline, producing negative ions in a healing electrical field. These healing crystals help to restore cellular health by replacing electrons to the atoms, as well as penetrating deep into the body by 4 to 6 inches. What can the Biomat do for you? It'll improve your skin, burns as many calories as if you went jogging for 30 minutes. It improves the immune system by up to 40% or more, reduces stress and fatigue, removes toxins, lowers cholesterol, relieves pain, revitalizes cellular metabolism. It improves cell channels to deliver nutrients and oxygen to every one of your cells. It activates over 3,000 enzymes. And even a Harvard medical study showed cancer cells die at over 42 degrees Celsius. It reduces stress hormones by up to 78%. It allows your body to produce heat shock proteins, which increases endorphins, NK cells, T cells, and lymphocytes. It's very, very low EMF, and it's got a 17-layer technology. Dr. Mark Serkis is the director of the International Medical Veritas Association. Explain to us more about these biomats.
These biomats are these far infrared mattresses. You lay on them, or you sleep on them, or both. You do, you know, very heavy treatments during the day, and at night you sleep at, you know, just a nice comfortable temperature. These biomats are like these love machines, comfort machines, and healing machines. Because what they do is they just radiate out light, far infrared light, and you can radiate yourself all night long while you're sleeping when you're not doing anything else. And what happens is this light penetrates the body and turns to heat. And the first thing that happens when you bring your core body temperature up 1 degree is your immune system strength increases by 40-50%. They feel when you lay down on them, you know, you guys know, you have one. So it's like the feeling is so good. It's like being in the cuddling with a lover, your wife or husband. It's just warmth and comfort.
How are you using biomats for patients in your clinics?
You know, the cancer treatment using heat is very aggressive, meaning during the day, you sandwich yourself in between two of them, turn it on to high heat, and bake the cancer. The cancer will die before you will. No, this is, you know,
that's
you can
awesome.
Go to England and spend $20,000 and use microwave a cancer out of existence. These biomats basically do the same thing. You know, radiation therapy for cancer is really a solid idea. Unfortunately, oncologists use the wrong radiation. They use radiation that kills you. This biomat uses radiation that can save your life and make your life more comfortable, keep you warm in the cold, and help take care of your kids and all, you know, the list doesn't end.
Yeah, because isn't there some sort of temperature at which cancer cells will start dying?
Right, and it's below the temperature that human cells will die.
So you really like this biomat far infrared technology, don't you?
But it's really strengthened me. Well, now the kids are addicted to it. You know, they fight on who's going to sleep on it at night. And it changed, not only changed my life, but it changed my medical practice and my books. This is a great machine for anybody who lives in the cold during the winter. Instead of heating a big house, you just heat yourself. What, bottom line, it brings good feelings. Just lay on this biomat and it gives the strength back.
I can attest to that indeed. Kate and I love ours and we think you will too. Learn more about these amazing biomats at extremehealthradio.com/biomat. Or you could check them out in our store as well. Again, that's extremehealthradio.com/biomat. Did you know that conventional dog food contains antibiotics, herbicides, pesticides, ground up carcasses from roadkill subjected to high heat processing, artificial colors, chemical preservatives, way too many carbohydrates, genetically modified corn syrups, indigestible grains, and a lack of moisture content in the dry kibble? Obviously, this can lead to health conditions like diabetes, itchy skin, teeth and gum problems, liver damage, obesity, behavioral issues, pancreatic problems, and even cancer. That's why we recommend the BARF diet, which is the biologically appropriate raw food diet from BARF World. Their unprocessed raw meats contain bone, organ meats, vitamins, and minerals that are loaded with enzymes. BARF World founder Robert Mueller explains more.
Sure, I don't have to convince you on the damage that's caused by high heat to food. So as a result, we see many skin disorders, a lot of arthritis, obesity, heart disease, cancers. I mean, it's just rampant. The vet clinics are just full of these conditions. And basically a large percentage of the commercial pet food that's made is made up of the human industry leftovers. And the pet food industry makes use of this waste product. And in addition to that, we are subjected to the products coming out of the rendering plants. Garbage in, garbage out. If you feed garbage to your dog, you're going to end up with garbage health. And all if you put the right gas in, your engine runs smoother and lasts longer. So if you put the right fuel in the tank, you're going to get the right output. Garbage in, garbage out.
We've seen an immense difference with our dog Maggie being on this diet. Give your dog the gift of health today by going to extremehealthradio.com/barf or go to our store. That's extremehealthradio.com/barf to learn even more.
I would think so. I think
I
things
so.
Are speeding up, and I mean, I'm a disruptor in all this. You know, Justin, I'm just a health journalist. I'm a self-proclaimed health journalist. I've been writing about health just out of personal interest. I have a communication background. I've been a copywriter for TV, but I have no diploma or nothing that should allow me to talk about the topic. And even with that in mind, I have doctors. I have an MD from Harvard. I have several different people telling me, Nick, educate me about EMFs. And I'm like, well, guys, I don't know what to tell you. I'm only reporting what I read, and I'm only connecting the dots. But this is the beautiful thing about the internet, is that I am able and you're able to talk about topics, and in that way, people are aware of a problem sooner rather than later. I think that the cycles of realizing that we screwed up, I think they're going to get faster and faster, and I have hopes. It's just that in the meantime, what totally destroys me inside is when I see people that are literally getting sick from that, mm-hmm. or maybe couples that cannot conceive, and you realize that, well, the man has a cell phone in the pocket, and that they sleep with a cell phone under the pillow, and that their health could be improved if they only change a few things in the, on the way they use technology. So it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, it's interesting because, you know, I don't have a cell phone. I've never had one my whole life, and I've managed to go this long, and I'm hoping, fingers crossed, I can go longer. Although I do think the technology is absolutely incredible, what human beings are able to do. I mean, I'm on one hand, I'm in awe of what it can do, completely, totally in awe. And it's amazing. Like you said, we can have this conversation on Skype, you know, like I don't own a cell phone, you know, but they're just amazing what they can do. But on the other side, I don't want them. I don't want one, but I'm wondering how long I can go without them. But the problem is that even if all the people listening to this took away their cell phone and threw it in the trash, you're still living and breathing and sort of bathing in this 5G world, you know? So that's a real problem because, you know, not all of us are even able to get rid of our cell phones. So then, you know, what do, you know?
Exactly. And it shouldn't be up to the user to change their habits. I don't think it's fair to say that you don't have any warning on the label of an iPhone telling you to put it in an airplane mode when you put it in your pocket, because it has been linked by, I don't know, in my book, I have 201 studies across 6 different meta-analyses that look at sperm damage and EMFs. And the link is, it's hard to quantify. I cannot tell you, is it, 15% damage, 20% reduction? It's not clear. However, what is clear is that it's doing something. So there should be a label. And no, it shouldn't be a label, Justin. It should be that when you put a cell phone next to your body, the cell phone detects the presence of a human being and turns off. That's it. Like, technology can be changed in this way. And this is why I think it's irresponsible the way that 5G technology is rolled out. But what's happening is that it's industry and profit driven. And then the few people I'm hearing things. I know that even people at Google and that are developing technology are kind of aware that maybe there's a problem with the technology, but then what can they do about it? If they start developing a healthier cell phone, like you mentioned, they're going to get caught in maybe under public fire for having kind of rolled out a non-safe technology to begin with, or it's going to show, yeah, so they don't want to take responsibility of it. It has to be government. But then you look at the FCC and you look at different organizations that control these things, and they're deeply, deeply in conflict of interest with the industry. And it's very concerning. And an example of that is, when you look at, you mentioned the World Health Organization, well, 2011, the IARC, the International Agency for Research on Cancer, that's on the United Nations, looked at EMF radiation from cell phones, and they concluded that, well, it's a class 2B carcinogen. Mm-hmm. In 2002, it was for magnetic fields, so living in the vicinity, for example, of a high voltage power lines. When you look at independent researchers that are still active and that were on the committee of the 2011 decision, you look at Leonard Hardell, Darius Lysinski, and a few of these guys. Almost every one of these guys that are not paid by the industry are saying it should be either a class 2A or a class 1. If it's a class 1, we're essentially spreading something like tobacco smoke or asbestos in the environment. And this is why I'm against the idea of complicating things and getting more exposure to 5G. And this is really because when you look at independent science, the effects are there. So how can we roll it without any pre-market testing, any idea of what these new waves are going to do to human bodies? I think it's extremely irresponsible. And, well, some people will use stronger words, but I'm a diplomat, so I tend to be very gentle.
Yeah, that's funny. You know, it's interesting. We just wrapped up. You mentioned Dr. Cruz. He's been on our show a couple times, real cool guy. And we mentioned, and he was saying at the end of his show that we just wrapped up a little while ago that, man, this 5G thing, because, you know, he sort of, as you know, harbors on the blue light and frequencies and stuff like that. But he was saying, man, this 5G thing is really going to change everything. And so he was saying that he used to live, let's see, I think he lived in New York, and then he moved to Nashville to do most, you know, to live and work as a neurosurgeon. And then I think what happened was he found out that Google was going to roll out one of their sort of, I don't even know what they called it, but some sort of technology that they're just going to be blanketing the entire city of Nashville with this intense radiation. And so that's when he moved down to, I think, New Orleans now. But, I mean, he just up and left because of it, so...
Yeah, well, and it might be what will be required. And I want to dive into 5G a little bit to share some stuff that maybe people have not realized yet. One thing, if I can compare what 5G is going to expose us to, if there are people, I don't know if you avoid the TSA scanners, I do personally, and I did, but right now I think it's pretty silly, and I'll tell you why. The scanners, I looked at, there's, for example, a company called Provision. Most of those, I passed the scans a couple of days in Detroit. It was a Provision LTD or something like that. Anyway, I looked at the specs, and this scanner is emitting millimeter waves. So it's exactly what's going to be used for cellular telecommunication and even Wi-Fi in the near future, within a couple of years. It's the TSA scan. Oh. It's the same thing. However, a TSA scanner uses a power density. So the intensity of the signal is only 60 microwatts per square meter. You don't have to know anything about radiation, but let's say it's 60 units. For 1.8 seconds, and it's the frequency 24 to 30 gigahertz compared to a cell phone that might be 1 to 3 gigahertz. So it's higher, it's in a millimeter wave range, okay, and only 60 units of radiation. Well, your cell phone right now can emit up to 100 thousands times that when you're on Wi-Fi, but in the microwave range. But now if we move to the higher frequencies, it's kind of your neighbor on the subway that uses 5G. Let's say you're on a moving train and there's a 5G antenna on top of it and everyone is having 5G on their phones. They're essentially going to TSA scan you 5,000 times per second. This is a radiation that's coming. Now, I don't want to be fear-monger because, doesn't mean anything, TSA scans are safe. I always get the skeptic side of you screaming at me in my head, and you're right. You're right. I don't know exactly what it's going to be doing, but if people choose to opt out of TSA scanners because they're not, I don't know if the technology is really safe or what, you cannot opt out. You don't have the human rights of opting out of being in a city or being near someone else with their cell phone. You don't even have the legal... The legal possibility of telling someone else, like, don't secondhand EMF me. It's not a thing.
Right.
It doesn't exist.
Right.
So we're going to be exposed to this radiation. And one thing I can tell you is that it's not been proven safe. It doesn't mean it's been proven harmful, but there are a lot of indications that it's doing several things, especially in the millimeter waves. And for me, if 4G and 3G, as I explain in my book and everything I do, it's already doing something, why are we increasing the levels when, in fact, if we follow the scientific precautionary principle, and as a human species, we should learn from these mistakes and kind of have, I don't know, like an entire committee on common sense that say, hey, guys, let's just stop for a second. Let's spend 5 more years developing the technology. But of course, it means trillions that are lost in opportunity costs for companies and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But I can share a couple of things. Do you want me to share? I dug up basically the latest science on millimeter waves and what it might be doing, at least in the early studies.
Fascinating. Yeah. So what did you find?
Sure. Well, there are a couple of things. So if you look at there's a good study that I could find that that looked at how electromagnetic fields, that this just came out, I think it's last year. So how microwave range can increase pain perception in amputees. So people that have always, like, it actually flares up inflammation in their limb that was cut out. So that's microwave radiation. But there are some indications that millimeter waves might do that. So might have a very acute effect on the skin. And one researcher, Dr. Ben Ishai from Israel, has looked at, they used to think, researchers, that the human skin ducts were fairly like a cylinder, like something very simple in design. But they discovered that it's actually not this way. It's actually what they call a helical conductive tube structure. So it's a bit of a coil, and it will actually absorb millimeter waves in preferentially compared to microwaves. So they think that basically they're very concerned that millimeter waves will be absorbed into the body instead of making it, let's say you have a cell phone to your head, it makes it a few inches in your brain. If you're a child, it can go all the way. But you have like a little bit of absorption, as if you have, let's say, a studio with very, very protected sound, and it sounds a little bit like damp. So it's microwaves, but millimeter waves, it looks like it might go straight through the body. And this is very concerning, because there are several other studies that I could find. For example, magnetite in your brain, and I think maybe you talked about that. It's a iron oxide that's magnetic, and Dr. William, I think it's Pavluk, but Pawluk, that's one of the top researchers on the effect of PMF on the beneficial effects on the human body. He argues that magnetite that is in every one of your brain cells helps you interpret this magnetism. So it's our inner sense of magnetism. Well, there's one study about how magnetite is an incredible material to absorb millimeter waves. So when you find that, the engineer is working, oh, maybe we could use magnetite in inventions and this and that. Well, guess what, guys? We have magnetite in our brain. So I think that certain tissues and certain cells, just like microwaves, will have different effects when exposed to millimeter waves. And it's not very surprising. It's really uncertainty that makes me very concerned, Justin, mm-hmm. not certainty. If it were certain to be harmful, well, no one would be talking about this because the technology would be banned. Uncertainty in my case is really what keeps me awake at night. For example, bacteria and invaders, well, when you look at millimeter waves, there are certain strains of yeast or pathogenic bacteria that will grow faster and other kinds that will grow slower when you expose them to millimeter waves. So the question is, okay, what does it do to your human body? I don't know. It's just that different studies are showing that there's an effect. So let's say you have, it increases the bad bacteria, might be harmful. If it increases the good bacteria, might be beneficial, but we don't know. Another link is an increased or decreased antibiotic resistance of these pathogens.
So I was just going to ask you about MRSA and these antibiotic resistant bacteria. I was just going to mention that.
So I saw a study. I just hate myself for it because I think I lost it somewhere. I have so many documents open, but there was one study about Wi-Fi in hospitals and how it might not be a good idea because it might increase, I think it was E. coli or maybe it was MRSA, but increase the antibiotic resistance. And I think that is just very concerning. I don't have any it's scary that different studies are showing different effects, and we don't know exactly what it's going to do. However, in a society where most people clearly have gut problems, where we discover that the human microbiome is so key, where the best holistic doctors on the planet that you have on your show each say that Lyme disease is off the charts, that there's an epidemic of leaky gut and this and that, you put out a technology that might or might not screw up our gut microbiome. It's not okay.
And I can
cite one study, one researcher that looked, let me see what date this is. I think it's very recent. It's a 2018. Well, it's actually, oh my God, it's from 17 days ago. It was published in International Journal of Environmental Health. So I don't want to butcher this, but it's by DeSiola A. That is the author. I can send you that for a show notes.
Yeah,
and basically,
that'd be great.
What this person says is, I looked at all the effects of that 5G might have on human health. So millimeter waves and this and that, and it's a possible, well, the current EMS or a possible carcinogen, and it demonstrates everything that is available on the topic. And what this researcher says, available findings seem sufficient to demonstrate the existence of biomedical effect, and we must adopt the precautionary principle. So I think this is the same approach. It's saying, well, we don't have like good studies on saying it's definitely going to destroy us. But what should we do when we're faced with this reality that there's scientific uncertainty? And what this researcher said, and I think it is brilliant, is just, well, we should define exactly what the safe levels are, protect people that might be vulnerable, and revise the safety limits to explore exactly how can we reduce the levels. But it's just one researcher, unfortunately. I don't think it's going to make it to
wow.
the mainstream, but it's just something that I saw that was super sane approach.
That is super, I mean, logical and smart, and unfortunately, you know, it flies in the face of huge industry. I wanted to ask you a couple of different things. If you know anything about grounding, but before I ask you about that, I'm curious if there's any connections in your research that you've done with people being exposed to heavy metal toxicity, perhaps silver amalgam, mercury fillings, or heavy metals coming from coal fire plants, and perhaps how these heavy metals that are being stuck in human bodies is reacting, if at all, to the 5G and to wireless radiation. Do you know if there's any correlation there?
There's definitely a correlation, even though it's extremely early. And the research by Dr. Martin Paul, P-A-L-L, is really the top notch on the topic. And Dr. Paul has been recognized tremendously in the scientific community, has a 2013 paper that was Paper of the Year by a scientific organization. So he's not some kind of random dude that's alarmist. He's really a great PhD researcher, and he's been looking at multiple chemical sensitivity since the I think early 90s. So it's been decades he's looking at that, and now he's looking at electrical sensitivity and also how Wi-Fi might affect us. And what he developed is basically a unified theory of something called the no-ono cycle. So nitric oxide peroxynitrite. And it's very complicated. It's something I get into in a very geeky way in the course that I'm working on, because health practitioners love these kind of things. But mm-hmm. to put it simply, it's a cycle of inflammatory processes that start with excessive calcium into the cells.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, when you have Wi-Fi that triggers the calcium channels in your body, the calcium channels stay open, stay stuck, as if it was a garage door and the sensors on it are destroyed, and now it stays open. And the cold air of the winter in Montreal flows into your home, for example. So that's calcium flowing into the cell. And then it causes an excessive nitric oxide. It will create peroxynitrite. And peroxynitrite is an extremely potent oxidant to the body. So it wreaks havoc. It can affect your DNA and all sorts of things. But you know what also creates this excessive calcium influx? It's chemicals. But chemicals will stimulate this calcium influx through something called the NMDA receptor. So when you have chemicals that stimulate NMDA, it's pretty much like when you have MSG, monosodium glutamate, it excites your brain. So the chemical, let's say you have dental amalgams, you will have these heavy metals excite your brain. And the direct step after that is increased intracellular calcium inside the cell. And then the same cycle continues. So what he's showing essentially is that you have a perfect synergy of damage between EMFs, chemicals, pesticides, and other environmental toxins, and also, and you might also have mold toxins in there, because mold toxins can directly be a very inflammatory substance for the brain and excite your NMDA receptors. So this is how there's a synergy. With 5G in the picture, I don't know how it affects this cycle exactly that Dr. Paul talks about, but it's a clear... I only think it's going to increase everything. So it's a cycle of inflammation that once, let's say it's pretty much like the bucket theory that a lot of people in holistic medicine talk about. You have your bucket, and this represents your ability to cope with toxins. And eventually the bucket overflows, and every drop that spills on the floor, is symptoms. So for some people, well, their entire bucket is always overflowing, so they're always symptomatic. And this is the no-ono cycle. Mm. Once it overflows, it's so hard to take some of the bucket and put it in the drain and reduce until you're in an unsymptomatic zone. It's really, really hard. So this is the synergy between everything that we expose to. And I love it because it shows exactly how these things act in synergy, and it makes an extremely good case to explain why people that have multiple chemical sensitivity usually also have electrical sensitivity to EMFs, or a lot of the times there are good correlation right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fascinating how you have so many different aspects of the body going on all at once, all the way down to the molecular and the photonic level, that when you start pulsing these waves into people who are also being exposed to blue light and to toxins and heavy metals and poisons everywhere else, it's like you have this soup of all these things happening, and we're not even anywhere near understanding one of those things, let alone how they all interact with each other. And so I think that's one of the things that you were talking about, is just improving your overall level of health before this happens. And, I think it's probably safe to say that as a result of 5G coming, we're going to have to really work on our health. And for the people that don't, who knows? It's kind of just a crapshoot what happens to them,
Sure. I think there's going to be more people with EMF sensitivity, and that's not just me. Not the 5G, but the electrical engineer Alasdair Phillips that I talked about at the beginning of the show. He's one guy that told me in a private interview that I did with him to ask him some questions for my book. He said, Nick, EHS, electrical hypersensitivity, is going to increase. It's just a fact. In his mind, it's so clear because it's 5G, and it's also the number, the sheer amount of devices and all the different kinds of signals and pulsing and modulation that we have no idea what they do. Eventually, people just overflow. So for the rest of us, yes, it's going to be just optimizing our health in all ways possible. And also, I'm trying to develop ways that we're going to be able to directly, if possible, I'm optimistic, negate the effects of EMS. But a lot of people like Jack Cruz and other people would say, Nick, that's unrealistic. You get to move out. But we're going to see. I think that, let's put it this way. We're going to have to work way harder on our health, like you put it.
Yeah. Do you think, in closing, do you think that grounding, some people have said that they think that as a result of the 5G, grounding itself to the earth is going to be less effective? Have you looked into that at all, or do you know anything about that?
I've heard about it a little bit, and I think it really has to do with how the millimeter waves can kind of hop everywhere. Let's say you have millimeter waves inside your home. I think that it's going to be picked up way better by your metal plumbing, by anything metallic, and I think the signals might jump all over the place way more. So who knows what it's going to do? It's a very good question, and it's. For the moment, I still recommend grounding. I I'd say with caution, a caution first. If you ground inside using a grounding mat, I would turn off the circuit breakers to the bedroom, making sure you don't have this dirty electricity going into your body. And Dr. Klinghart, who's a health pioneer treating chronic disease, he recommends grounding indoors, but only if you remove electricity and Wi-Fi and everything that's man-made right there beforehand, because else you don't know exactly if you're going to have more harm than good. I still recommend grounding in nature, you know, as much as you can manage to. And actually, grounding directly impacts so many aspects or kind of negates so many aspects that EMFs disrupt in your body. Mm-hmm. For example, we know that EMFs, or at least in certain people, will cause rouleau formations. That's when your red blood cells all clump together and your blood becomes more viscous and it has a hard time circulating well. So in people with EHS, it's seen all the time and it's been confirmed by people that do live blood analysis. Well, when you ground, and this is something Gaetan Chevalier from the Earthing Institute, he's a top researcher on the topic, told me, is that when you ground, you have a tripling of the zeta potential of your red blood cells after just 20 to 40 minutes. So what does that mean? The zeta potential is an electrical charge on the red blood cell membrane. So imagine two magnets that are minus and minus, they repel each other. So the higher the zeta potential, the more these red blood cells will stay, let's say, they will float in harmony in your blood, and then you get better blood flow. So if you're in a high Wi-Fi environment, you're in a city, and your blood is all clumped up, you have rouleau formations, you have reduced circulation, you go in nature, you ground, you get out of the signal, of course, not just thinking grounding is some sort of magic pill, but right. You do all that, well, your blood can go back to normal. So you can reverse these effects that are super short term. However, it doesn't mean that it's going to, well, save your life in the long term. So hopefully we're not going to see these effects. Or if we see these effects, hopefully it will contribute to something. Unfortunately, some people are going to suffer from it. But I think if the authorities recognize that, well, we've installed 4G or 5G in a year after we have a doubling of each disease known to mankind, maybe they're going to start listening. And then we're going to see, oh my God, we did a mistake. And people are going to listen to this show, Justin, are going to say, well, these guys had it all figured out years before.
What
can I tell you?
I hear you. So in closing, you've written a really great book which you were kind enough to send to me, The Non-Tinfoil Guide to EMFs. And you can find that on Amazon or on your website, emfbook.com. But you were telling me before we started the show, and I wasn't aware that you were working on this, which I think is going to be really cool. An entire course on all of this. What's that about?
Well, I've done a presentation in August in front of, in last August, just a couple of months ago, that really changed my life in a sense. I had written my book and I was trying to get the word out. So I went to this conference and 350 health practitioners listened to my talk about 5G. And I had the immense opportunity to do a 5-minute talk, pretty much TED style talk. And afterwards, a lot of health practitioners started asking me, okay, well, Nick, it's super concerning, 5G, and what can I do about it? What should I tell my patients, and how does it work? And I realized that my book is really for the average person that wants to understand EMFs and what to do, but it didn't address exactly the clinical side of EMFs. So I actually teamed up. I interviewed Dr. McCullough, Dr. Klinghart, Dr. Ben Lynch, Dr. Gaetan Chevalier, and also building biologist Aura Miller, and I put together my findings in a course because I wanted to go a little bit deeper and explain things like the no-ono cycle and also clinical observations that Klinghart shared with me that I don't think he's talked about anywhere else. So I put all that in a course that I called Electrosmog RX because I think this is the prescription that you need to survive the electrosmog, and especially if you're a health practitioner, it's really geared towards health professionals of all levels or biohackers that have clients, coaching clients and whatnot. And it's a series of 5 webinars and also a lot of tools and PDF cheat sheets that's going to help you add this to your practice. Because, you know, I've realized that these holistic doctors were coming to me to get answers. And I'm like, okay, well, it's unacceptable because it looks like there's no one holistic practitioner training or course or school that addresses EMFs and is the number one environmental toxin that's increasing fast. So there's a gap in human knowledge right now. And people like Klinghart and several others, they know what to do. So I took their information and I'm trying to just package it in a way that you can learn from.
That's so cool.
It's and I've actually arranged a special coupon code for everyone listening to this. I know you have health practitioners listening to your show to discover what's the latest and cutting edge information. So it's if you go to electrosmogrx.com/EHR for Extreme Health Radio, and then you use the coupon code EHR, you're going to get 10% off the five webinars and the education. And I must say, it's only the beginning. It's really the current form of the course is the, let's say, what I could put together in a few months, but I want it to be a hub for research on the clinical side. Mm-hmm. And if practitioners want to join a mission, contact me, feel free, Justin, to give them my info. I think it's going to be my work in the next 10 years, getting practitioners on board because they are seeing the sickest patients. And if we can save just a handful of lives, then, well, that's going to be the reason I got into this topic and got so passionate about the topic. It's super important. And I think that, you know, when doctors start treating people and they get better, well, how can you deny that it's happening?
Yeah.
The evidence is going to be overwhelming. So that's also my, well, not so secret plan, is to also help practitioners get people better. And then we realize, oh my God, it's actually making us sick. So it's going to get some mainstream attention, I think, in the next years if we go through practitioners also.
That's awesome. That's so cool. Yeah, it's awesome because, you know, really what it comes down to, it's like this world is sort of being forced upon us in terms of like all the different really great benefits and privileges of living in a modern society. But we can't just like let the river push the boat down the road and let it take us where they want us to go. And, you know, we have to really educate ourselves. And, you know, unfortunately, it would be nice if we could, or fortunately, I should say, it would be really nice to just go live in the middle of the country and, you know, you don't have to be educated about anything. You can just go live in the middle of the country and just grow your own food and live a nice, quiet life. But, you know, the more that you're exposed or the more you live in these modern world environments, education is key. And that's why we've got to learn about this stuff, because if we don't educate ourselves, we can't live the same way we're living in a rural environment or living on an island or somewhere. So we really got to take our education to the next level. So, Nicholas, thanks for offering our listeners a discount for that. And that's at electrosmogrx.com/EHR. Is that right?
That's right. That's Sweet. Right. And then you use the coupon code EHR for 10% off.
Okay. Dude, that's awesome. Thank you.
No worries. No worries. My pleasure. And thanks for having me. I'm so glad you're spreading the word. I must say, I've been listening to your show for years, and you've been addressing EMS for a long while, mm-hmm. way before it was a popular topic, and it's getting more popular, and I'm glad. So I'm really glad you're spreading the word. It's so, so important. And only by spreading the word will we achieve global understanding that this might be a problem, and then things will change. But we need to spread the word fast, because I think it's not so pretty what's going to come, and there's going to be collateral damage, and this mm-hmm. is just what breaks my heart. So let's contribute to the cause and just spread the word the way you can by sharing this episode and giving and supporting Justin's work, because you're doing an amazing job, man, talking about certain topics, being independent and I don't know, waking the people up to so many healing modalities and problems that that we have of our time. It's really disrupting the conventional media, and I appreciate the mission you're on.
Man, thank you. I appreciate that. Hang on the line, Nicholas. We're going to just close out the live or the podcast version of the show. Want to thank you guys so much for listening, for your time. I don't take it lightly, so I appreciate it a lot. If this episode sounds like it would be interesting to any friends of yours, please forward it or pass it on, send it by email, share it on social media. Both Nicholas and I would really appreciate that. And also hit us up on social media and let us know that you listened. We would greatly appreciate that. I just really appreciate you guys so much. And I'm just honored to be doing this show and just learning with you and all going through this journey together. So with 5G coming, it's become more and more apparent that we need to take our health to new levels and be more vigilant about what we do and what we allow in and all that kind of stuff. So it's really important that we stay on the cutting edge. So that's what we're about here. So let me make sure I get this correct so I can get the show notes for you. Yep, this is episode 570. So I'll put links to everything we talked about at extremehealthradio.com/570, and then you can share it with your friends and grab the show notes and links and stuff like that. All right, guys, we love you so much, and let me know if I can ever help, and we'll catch you guys on the next episode. I have to say, I have been absolutely loving this product by Tristan Truscott and Peter Ragnar called Good Morning, Good Evening, Qigong. If you want to listen to the interview we did with Tristan, you can go to extremehealthradio.com/127. And Qigong is a great way to de-stress the body. And as you know, there's a huge component to disease caused by stress. And stress is a huge factor in how we live our lives and the amount of energy we have and the amount of vitality we have. And so, Dr. Shade, what do you think about Qigong?
People come to me and they're really sick and they got this blown out neurological system and all this toxicity. And I tell them, you need to do Qigong, Tai Chi. You need to do these things that settle down and restore your neurology, because it puts together all the parts. It puts you back into that state where you can start to detoxify. And so I highly, highly recommend all that.
And what about you, Kit Campbell? What do you think about Qigong? Do you like it as well?
Qigong is amazing. And the reason that I believe it to be amazing is everything here is energy. That is a scientific fact, if there ever is one. So when you're practicing Qigong, you're actually drawing energy into your body. Your intention, whatever your intention is behind any action, will determine the level of energy, type of energy that you absorb into your body. So your intention behind your is very important, just like thought. So when you're practicing Qigong, you're actually bringing energy in and you're bringing out the stuff that might be a bit stale. With Tai Chi, it's totally different. The energy runs underneath the skin because it's more of a martial, this is the Chinese understanding, by the way. It's more of a martial art. So Qigong is very, very good for bringing that energy into the body, and just fantastic.
If you're interested in picking up this Qigong course by Tristan Truscott and Peter Ragnar, go to extremehealthradio.com/Qigong. That's Qigong. And you can learn more about it. There's a great video on that page, and you can learn more about it on that page. And I highly, highly recommend this product. I love it myself. So go ahead and check that out. extremehealthradio.com/Qigong. Okay, so there you have it. Episode 575 is in the book with Mr. Nicholas Pineau. How do you guys think about that interview, man? That was pretty informative, wasn't it? Man, he knows his stuff, and he's just a fascinating, fascinating guy. And, you know, it's just, I don't know what it is. It's really, I don't know, for me, just thinking about this kind of stuff and being exposed to the literature that I am exposed to and reading different articles and listening to different podcasts and listening to different lectures and YouTube stuff and watching documentaries. Man, this whole electrification of our culture is something that I think is really going to be, man, I think it's way more important than any of us ever consider or any of us ever think about. Because the problem, like we talked about on the show, is that, you know, you can't see any of this stuff. So you have to get all these expensive meters and voltmeters and EMF meters and check the different levels of all these different frequencies that are going through you. But, you know, we as humans were not meant to exist in this kind of an environment. I mean, this is just not normal. It's not rational. It's not normal. There are so many studies showing that these frequencies affect our cellular biology. I mean, there was something I was just reading a couple weeks ago about how it affects blood sugar levels, just dirty electricity in our walls. And most of the time, there's so much dirty electricity in our walls because they didn't ground it and they didn't buffer it right and put the right coating on the wires. And so there's all this electricity going in our walls. It's affecting our blood sugar levels. I mean, like, man, this is just, it's really serious, guys. I'm really, really have to bring this point home. This is much more serious than we ever even think about. I mean, the fact that there are so many different conditions that this can affect is just mind-boggling. Like, you just you learn that, you know, it's affecting blood sugar levels. You learn that it's affecting our voltage in our body, the ability for our body to carry electrons over the mitochondrial membrane. It's affecting, I believe, you know, you get to see a lot of these people with atrial fibrillation and all of these things. And man, we are creatures of light first, and we carry voltage, and we're electrical beings first. And, you know, we're covered with this skin, and, you know, you just don't think about these things. And man, like, this is really a big deal. And I think that this has to be somewhere that you focus. You know, in my opinion, this and light are the two most blue light. I mean, it's all non-native EMF, right? I mean, it's all affecting our cells, and it's all non-native frequencies and voltage that is not conducive to a healthy body. So whether it's blue light or EMF coming from 5G, you know, we have to have strategies to mitigate these things. And, you know, there's an interesting quote by Dr. Klinghardt. He's just, you know, he's the doctor that teaches natural doctors. He's one of the top pioneers in functional medicine. And there's a quote by him that says, the most overlooked factor in healing is to create a clean electromagnetic environment for patients and for clients. So, you know, I can't stress this enough, how important it is to protect yourself. So there's internal things you could do. There's external things you could do. There's things to, just listening to someone the other day talk about how important it is to consume lots of healthy fats. DHA would be, you know, something you'd want to try to consume as much as possible. I like the Symbiotica DHA. There's also seafood. You can get it straight from seafood as well. Symbiotica is more of a, you know, a vegan source from algae, if you guys are more interested in that. But this person was talking about, gosh, what was she talking? This was Anne Louise Gettleman. I was listening to a show with her on it, and she was talking about the importance of healthy lipids and creating strong lipid layers, double layer of lipid around all of your cells, and strong cellular membranes to be able to deal with all of the EMF fog. But my goodness, so I really want to stress this, guys. You know what the best thing to do is? Probably to sign up for the electrosmog prescription course. I'll put a link to that in this. But, you know, getting your electricity environment dialed in is something that I'm going to be focusing a lot on. And, you know, right now we turn off our wireless electricity, but there's so many things to consider when it comes to being exposed to EMF. I mean, there's just literally, there's a lot to this. And I think that we really have to educate ourselves. We really have to, like, take the next step, because it's like, we don't live in the world that our grandparents grew up in, you know? Like, in 1920, the amount of electrification and the amount of electricity flowing through our walls and in our environment had to have been 10 times less than what it is now. We're just bathing in a sea of electromagnetic field radiation. And if you could actually see it, I think that's the thing. If we could actually see what's happening to our cells and our body, I think we would all just be completely up in arms about it. But I mean, like I said before, that, like, EMF has been associated with, like, cancer and autoimmune disease and, like, you know, infertility and neurological symptoms, you know, sleep issues and chronic fatigue. And there's just so many factors that EMF affects that, you know, we think that, like, if we have poor sleep or if we have, like, you know, if we have infertility or autoimmune diseases, we focus on everything except for EMF exposure. And so I think this could be one of the underlying causes, because, like I said before, we don't live in our parents' world anymore. We don't even live in our grandparents' world. You know, that's why there's so many studies showing that, like, what they call in China, what, you know, they call this, what do they call it? They call it not nature bathing or forest bathing. And there's all these studies showing that, like, just spending time in nature, in forests, is helping people in so many different ways heal from, you know, chronic issues and regain their health. And, you know, so it's a multi-layered strategy approach. You know, one is buffering your cellular matrix and eating foods that are going to help. Avoiding, obviously, foods and thinking and stressful thoughts that are going to help lower your body voltage, which is something Dr. Jerry Tennant talks about, and making sure that your diet and your lifestyle are supportive of optimal health. And then there's all kinds of different things that you could do inside your home in order to create an environment that supports healing, because, you know, it does no good really to, I mean, I guess it does some good, but, you know, if you're eating like the most pristine diet, but you're living in a sea of electromagnetic smog in your house, you know, it's akin to, like, you know, being that angry vegan, right, who's just super angry at the world, but they're drinking their green juice. You know, it's just, it's kind of counterproductive. So, like Dr. Crew says, our biology responds to the environment. So if your biology is creating something that you don't want, look first to your environment. Look first to your work area. Go to lessemf.com. You can go through our link if you want. That'll help support the show. Or you can just go straight there and buy you know, different tools and different ways to protect yourself. You know, it's so, so important, my friends, to make sure that you're protecting yourself from this stuff. So I'll put a link to electrosmog prescription on this show page. That is extremehealthradio.com/575. I hope you guys enjoyed that show with Nicholas Pino. And yeah, he's a cool guy, man. I really, really appreciate his work and what he's doing, because, like I said before, I think this is such an important issue that we're just not talking about. No one's really talking about it. No one's really focused on it, because we're changing our environment, you know, and we're having all kinds of ramifications to our health. And, you know, we're not looking at the environment that we're changing. We're trying to change our internal environment, but that's never gonna affect our health to the extent that changing our external environment will do. Like Dr. Crew says, you know, he says we can't heal in the same environment we got sick in. So it's the environment that we're changing, but we can't see it. So it's so critical. Like, you know, when I'm working out, I've been working out lately in my garage. If we could see what our walls look like and the amount of radiation and electricity coming out of our walls. Remember those things back in the 80s? I remember that was on that movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off, where I forget what they're called, but there's like those little crystal balls, and inside they have that little orb, and these little like lightning bolts come off the center of it, and, you know, it touches the glass, and when you put your fingers on it, it sort of follows your fingertips, that kind of thing. If we could see like that what was going on in our house, we're living in sort of a, like a cage. It's sort of like zzzz, and it's just, that's what we live in. And then if you go outside of that cage, outside of the house, we have all of these cell towers and all of these things. But at least when you're outside of that, inside of that house, you're not exposed to all this stuff. And so, you know, it's one of the things that I think is super, super important to mitigate and learn how to mitigate, because this is critical. This is absolutely critical, and it's affecting our health, and we just don't know it. And we're focused on changing our diet and doing all these other things. But man, I tell you, start with your environment first. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that show. We are back. We're doing shows live now. So if you guys haven't checked out our YouTube channel or our Facebook page, we're broadcasting on our Extreme Health Academy Facebook page. So our shows are Mondays at 9 a.m. Pacific and 10:45 a.m. Pacific. And if you guys would like to join the live shows and watch them live on video, that would be awesome. And we'd appreciate you guys being on there and asking questions. I'll take questions, you know, throughout the show if you have any questions. While watching live, if you're at work and can kind of listen and ask your questions without the boss finding out, then that would be cool. So, yeah, so our shows are live if you follow us on Extreme Health Academy on Facebook and then our Extreme Health Radio YouTube channel. So there you go, episode 575. I'll put the links to that page there. And anything else I want to let you know about? Yes, one other thing. The Academy, I promised you at the beginning of the show that I would give you a discount code. So if you guys want to check out the Extreme Health Academy, you can do so. I wanted to give you a 2-week trial. So if you want to check it out and see what it's all about and see how it can help you, enter the code EHR14. EHR14, that will give you 2 weeks to try it out for free and check it out. So if you're unfamiliar with what the Extreme Health Academy is, it's our sort of, it's something that I've been wanting to do, and I'm so proud of. It's been something at the top of my list to do for many, many years now. And what we're doing there is we are taking a lot of the concepts that we talk about on Extreme Health Radio, the theory, and we put them to practical use and practical knowledge with tips and videos and ideas. And we do Q&A sessions twice a month, actually four times a month, answering your health questions. We're doing courses every single month, like super high-level courses. Let me just share with you some of the courses we've just done recently. Recently, we just wrapped up an entire course on cancer. The coming up course for August of 2018 is going to be all about autoimmune disease. We did one on the immune system and balancing your hormones. These are like 3-4 hour courses that goes into so much depth and so much detail with how to overcome these conditions. The complete guide to improving your digestion. So it's been said that all disease begins in the gut. And so there's a whole course on digestion. We did one on the nervous system, as well as the three stressors, which is basically what causes all disease is stress on the body, right? So if you can remove all the stress in your body, then you will radically increase your lifespan. So I'm doing stuff in there as well. We're doing members hangouts that are live answering your questions. I'm going to be posting a lot more videos in there. I did some videos about how I hack my light environment. You guys might want to be interested in that, and exactly how I do it and the different steps I go through to work with light in a more positive way. There's a yoga course. There's all kinds of cool stuff inside the Extreme Health Academy. Plus, my favorite part is the community. All of you guys communicating with one another and helping each other overcome health conditions. It's just a cool, cool place. So if you want to try it out for free, go for it. ExtremeHealthAcademy.com. The code is EHR14 for your free 14-day trial. So also, I wanted to thank you guys, too, for supporting our show in our store. You guys are so, so kind and so generous. Our store has all kinds of cool stuff, like the Bellicon Rebounder, the sauna that we sell. That's our best-selling product, is our Relax Far Infrared Sauna. We sell the IMRS PEMF devices. We sell the sunglasses, or the orange glasses that I wear to mitigate blue light. We sell Vitamix blenders. We sell all kinds of cool things. The Rapid Release Technology Pro 2, that's one of my favorite devices. We're going to be selling the red light therapy device here pretty soon. So these are all kinds of really cool tools for you to hack your environment and to take your health to new levels quickly, very, very quickly, much quicker than without these tools. So you don't need them for your health, but they really do speed up the process and help create a healing environment in your home, which is really cool. So thanks, guys, for checking out our store. And also, not many of you guys know this, but you can also support the show through through shopping through our Amazon link. And we have a link to Amazon right there on our homepage, extremehealthradio.com. So if you guys make purchases over there, just click on over from our link, and nothing changes for you, but you support the show that way. So think of us anytime you make a purchase on Amazon. And also, lastly, I want to thank you guys that support the show via Patreon. A lot of you guys support like $1, $2 per show, and it just really adds up and helps us pay our bills. That's how we're able to do everything for free and offer over 570 episodes for you guys absolutely free. We couldn't do it without your support. So whether you're sharing our shows on Facebook or YouTube or Twitter, I mean, those are great free ways to help get the word out about what we're doing. Or if you're buying through our Amazon link or sending a buck or two per show every single month, or supporting us on our show, on our store, or our academy, those are all ways to help us continue to do this work. And, you know, as we continue to grow, I think what I'd like to do is do a fourth show and maybe even a fifth show per week. That would be really cool. I'd like to do a show with survivor stories. That would be really fun. And maybe do two interviews plus a survivor story, plus a free-for-all Friday show. That would be four shows. And then maybe next we can move into five shows. But we'll have to get some people to help us do that, produce the shows and all that kind of good stuff. But survivor stories, I think, would be really, really cool. Or what do you guys think about this? This would be kind of fun. What if I contacted a bunch of different people and they could record like 5 minutes on some health ailment? Like, what if we did something on cancer? What if we did something on autoimmune disease or skin health or something like that? And we could record, you know, maybe get 15, 20, 30 different people to record 5 minutes or so about their best strategies for that particular thing. And then we can make that into like a one or two hour audio podcast. And that way you could get like 15 or 20 different people all talking about what their best strategies are for something like a certain health condition. If you guys think that's a cool idea, that would be kind of cool to do as a fifth show per week. So lots going on, lots happening, lots in the works, and lots of cool ways to help serve you guys. So anyway, thank you guys for listening, and if you like what we're up to, please consider sharing or donating or supporting through Amazon some way. That would be awesome. Or if you guys just want to check out the Academy, that would be even better, because the Academy is where I get to meet you guys, and I love to interact with everyone inside the members area. I can't always get back to everybody via email, but in the Academy, I do my best, and I do pretty good getting back to everybody in the Academy. So that's a place to all kind of come together and make friends and create a supportive healing environment. So that's what it's all about, right? Helping others and helping ourselves and really taking our health to new levels. That's really what it's all about. So there you go. Episode 575. I'll put the links to all of those things at extremehealthradio.com/575. We love you guys. You are amazing. And let us know if we can ever help you guys, or if you have any questions about any of the products that we promote or shows, like those options for shows I was just talking about, or different ideas for shows, let me know, or guests, let me know. We're open to anything and everything. So you guys are amazing. Love you guys. We will talk soon, and I'll catch you on the next episode.
No material on this blog is intended to suggest that you should not seek professional medical care. Always work with qualified medical professionals, even if you educate yourself in the field of live food, nutrition, and alternative medicine. I'm not a doctor, nor am I offering readers medical advice of any kind. None of the information offered here should be interpreted as a diagnosis of any disease, nor an attempt to treat or prevent any disease or condition. While information in this blog is discussed in the context of numerous conditions, it can be dangerous to take action based on any information in this blog or to start any health program without first consulting a health professional. The content found here is for informational purposes only and is in no way intended as medical advice, as a substitute for medical counseling, or as a treatment/cure for any disease or health condition, and nor should it be continued as such. Always work with a qualified healthcare professional before making any changes to your diet, prescription drug use, lifestyle, or exercise activities. This information is provided as is, and the reader/viewer assumes all risks from the use, non-use, or misuse of this information.